You're listening to the Bishop's Hour from the Roman Catholic Diocese of Phoenix on AM 1310 Relevant Radio. I'm Michael Dixon. Each month, the editor of the Catholic Sun takes a look at a particular saint whose feast day we are about to celebrate. Today, he's chosen a Mexican diocesan priest who became the first canonized saint and martyr from Chihuahua City, Mexico. Tony, welcome back to the Bishop's Hour. Good to have you here.
Thanks for having me, Michael.
Before we get to your special saint of the month, why don't we run down a list of some of the other saints who have also have feast days around this time, because some of them are pretty well known.
Oh, yeah. A lot of them that I personally have devotion to, actually, St. Anthony of the Desert.
Yes.
Of course, my name is Tony. St. Sebastian, patron saint of sports, athletics.
Right.
When I was sports editor of my college paper, I actually had a picture of St. Sebastian tacked onto my cubicle during that time. St. Marianne Cope from Hawaii.
Right.
St. Francis de Sales, patron saint of journalists, prolific writer. St. Paul Mickey and his companions, Japanese martyrs. And, of course, the famed sister of St. Benedict, St. Scholastica.
Yes.
So there's so many saints to honor and to recognize. It's hard to just pick one, but that's what we're trying to do here.
Well, and you know, and your idea when you and I first talked about this segment of the program, because if you didn't know and hadn't been around listening to the program for a very long time, Tony comes in periodically to do this, to really give an encapsulation of the feast days of saints that are surrounding us, and then he always picks one that we've never heard of before. And then explains about them, and then we, you know, a lot of people just find themselves becoming devoted to that saint. It's and this one especially, I think, is really important to talk about. Who is it?
Today we're going to talk about Saint Pedro Maldonado. His full name, Saint Pedro de Jesus Maldonado Lucero, which is his full Spanish name, Peter of Jesus Maldonado Lucero. Really fascinating story. He was the last martyr of the Mexican martyrs in the 1920s and 30s. So his story, he was born in the late 1800s and felt this call to enter seminary, to become a priest, and was in seminary during the Second Mexican Revolution of the 1910s. During that time, the seminary was shut down, and he went back home. And then he went to El Paso to finish up, and he got ordained in El Paso. So I can't verify that he's the only one, but he's at least one of the only ones to have been ordained in the United States. So we actually can claim him as one of our own.
Well, actually, yeah.
As a matter of fact, the Bishop of El Paso has petitioned Rome to add his feast date to their diocesan calendar.
Oh, that was good. Yeah.
So there's a famous painting that anyone who's a Knight of Columbus, I'm sure, has seen around. It's a picture of six Mexican priests holding the Mexican flag, Our Lady of Guadalupe, and the Knights of Columbus banner. And the reason why it's such a big deal is these were the first six men who were members of the Knights of Columbus to be canonized.
Oh, that's right. He was a member of the Knights of Columbus.
So it's quite a big deal. So all the knights, of course, will recognize his... should recognize his date as a feast day as well. There's not actually a lot of literature on him in English. Most of the literature I found has either been from the Knights of Columbus or from the Diocese of El Paso. A matter of fact, my good friend from Texas wrote an article on St. Pedro in English for the Columbia Magazine, and I got some of my information from that. I've got a lot of my information, too, from some of the Spanish material as well. I have this wonderful book by Guadalupe Pimentel, a Mexican author, who wrote this book called Santos Martires Mexicanos, that kind of details the 25 Mexican martyrs that were canonized together. Of course, there was the six knights. There were six among 25 who were all canonized together by John Paul II in 2000. So back to St. Pedro. He was ordained in El Paso and then went back to Mexico to serve the people. And in this, he was big in trying to, you know, establish the schools there in his community, serving the native population. Of course, one of the biggest issues at the time was government versus lower class, and a lot of the lower class were natives. And ironically, while the church was associated with, you know, the government, it was also the church that was serving the natives and helping them. And he was building up these communities, you know, helping them, you know, become self-sustaining. He was bringing, teaching them the faith. And he was really building up this overall community. And the people there loved him. He eventually became pastor of a community called Santa Isabel, which is in the Chihuahua, the Archdiocese of Chihuahua. And I should note that at the time, the archdiocese encompassed the entire state of what we know now as Chihuahua, which includes Ciudad Juarez, mm-hmm. Which today is its own diocese. But it was still a pretty pretty large diocese, geographically speaking. And he was just a tireless pastor. The Cristero War ended in 1929. And, of course, we think, oh, well, the war is over, the persecution stops, and no, that's not the case.
Really?
Because there's still a lot of anti-clerical sentiment. So while officially the government had ended the persecution, you had these local governments that were still kind of, you know, really attacking the church. And that was particularly the case in northern Mexico, in Chihuahua, where he was stationed. So this was in 1937, 8 years after the war had ended, and it was on Ash Wednesday, a group of soldiers knocked on his door and dragged him out. One of them still had ashes on his forehead.
No.
And was still came in to grab this priest. And it's been described as a modern-day Via Crucis because they marched him from his home to the municipal courthouse, and they beat him senseless, fractured his skull, dislodged one of his eyes. It was brutal, really brutal. And he had with him a pyx containing the Eucharist. He was hoping to escape out the back door, and so he wanted to keep the Eucharist safe. Of course, he was captured, and so he still had this pyx. So he fell down on the floor, covered in a pool of his own blood. And one of the soldiers saw the pyx, and he grabbed it and took the Eucharist and mockingly told the priest, "Eat this, you know, eat your superstition." And of course, ironically, not knowing that he was fulfilling, you know, Father Maldonado's last wish,
well, of course,
to receive the Vatican before he died. You know, they like I said, they beat him senseless, and I don't know that they intended to kill him. I think they were trying to beat him senseless. He had already been in exile several times. One of the times he went to El Paso in exile, they told him, if you come back, you know what will happen. So he came back anyway. So I think they were trying to send him a message again. Later, they just kind of left him there. And then the women of the parish who followed him took him to the hospital. And there in the hospital the next day, the Feast of Our Lady of Lourdes, February 11th, 1937, he passed away. Immediately, there was an outcry. And it wasn't just like just the Catholics. It was the overall community. Again, it was like, this war is over. Why is this still happening? He had prayed that his martyrdom would go to end the persecution of the church in Mexico. And when that happened, his funeral procession, the entire community marched in procession. The government couldn't do anything. The governor's own wife was in the procession. They couldn't do anything, so they actually had to formally charge the soldiers with the murder and all this stuff. And he was recognized almost immediately as a saint.
And it was Pope John Paul II that actually canonized him.
It was, and like I said, he was one of 25 that were canonized together. Often when you hear of him, he's listed as one of 25. That's why there's not a lot of literature on him in English. So his cause began in 1975 by the Archdiocese of Chihuahua. Sometime in the 80s, his cause was combined with the other martyrs. Of course, there's a lot of martyrs from that time, and we're still discovering, recognizing and canonizing some martyrs from that time. So here he is. His cause gets joined with the others. Cristobal Magallanes was the lead of that group. So it's officially Cristobal and Companions, Mexican martyrs. And he is one of the companions. St. Pedro is one of the companions. So they were, once their causes were joined together, they were canonized together by John Paul II in 2000.
Wow. It's a, and there must be a great devotion to him in Chihuahua.
There is. As a matter of fact, it's not just in Chihuahua, but also in El Paso. I have had a chance to visit El Paso. Of course, you know that, as we've talked before, my family is from the Juarez, El Paso region. Yes. And I visited the shrine there in the cathedral in El Paso where commemorating his ordination. And they actually have a relic of his there in the cathedral. Every time I go there, through road trips or whatever, I always make it point to try to go there and just kind of do a little veneration myself. I've had a veneration for St. Pedro for quite a while. And just it's one of those getting to learn more about him. When he was canonized with all the rest of the martyrs, John Paul recognized them as the fruit of the faith in Mexico. Mm. That through their blood that Mexico will remain ever faithful. And Bishop Mark Seitz from El Paso, has stated, using St. Pedro's example, that the church needs more martyrs, repeating, the words of Pope Francis. And so he really is an example to us today of not only somebody who lived in charity. Like I said, he gave of his life to the people, not just physically, but just spiritually, constantly serving them, teaching the faith, educating them, loving them as a disciple of Christ, showing them who Christ was, having a devotion to the Eucharist, having a devotion to Our Lady of Guadalupe, and on his death, offering his suffering for the people of Mexico. And I think that's key. And a lot of times when we're in pain, when we're suffering, we might cry out, why? Why is this happening? Or mm-hmm. we might despair. And he wasn't despairing. He was asking the Lord to welcome him and to take his suffering, unite his suffering with Christ's, and to use that suffering for the faith in Mexico.
Now, he lived well enough into the 20th century that we have photographs of him.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. In various capacities. We have actually a photo of him in the hospital, in the hospital bed, all bandaged up as he is laying there dying.
I saw that. So where is he buried?
He's buried in Chihuahua. He's buried there with the archdiocese. Like I said, they recognized him as a saint pretty much immediately.
Yeah.
They knew that this is going to be special, so they kept him there in the archdiocese, and he kind of gave courage to the other priests of that diocese. A lot of the priests were in exile still at the time, and a lot of them had the courage to come back to serve. The bishop himself was in exile, and he had the courage to come back with this, and he celebrated the Mass. And
thanks
and
to the inspiration of that. That's wonderful. By the way, I Googled the saint, and there's an article. There's an article in Wikipedia on him, so it's accessible, and people can read more. It condensed, obviously, but give yourself a sense of who he really was. But just really, Saint Pedro Maldonado. Listen, thank you for this. It's just always exciting when you come in because you're introducing us to saints we might otherwise not have known. And this one particularly because it's a martyr. It was ordained in El Paso. I mean, this is really an important thing.
And again, too, the Knights of Columbus connection can't be understated, too. He actually started a Knights of Columbus council in his parish. He started several, but the one that he started in his most recent parish was because he wanted to bring the men in his church closer to Christ. And that just fits so well with what we talk about here in our diocese with, the Into the Breach movement,
right.
Trying to bring families and men closer to Christ. And that was his goal. And I think a lot of our knights or our listeners may find some inspiration from this story as well.
I hope so. Tony, thank you very much for being here. I look forward to the next time.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Our guest has been Tony Gutierrez, editor of the award-winning Catholic Sun, on St. Pedro de Jesus Maldonado, the first saint and martyr from Chihuahua City, Mexico, canonized by St. John Paul II on May 21st, 2000. And you're listening to the Bishop's Hour on Relevant Radio, AM 1310.